We got a text here from the 425 Blackmouth. A little slow this week in Area 9. Big tides truly do suck.
Yep.
And it's tough fishing really big tides, unless you know exactly where they're hanging out. But if you only get out a day a week, it can be tough when that water's gushing.
Yeah, but mid-channel, sometimes fish is pretty good on a big tide.
I'd rather have a big tide than a soaker tide.
I would,
myself.
Too.
Oh, yeah.
I would, too.
I agree.
Because I part of the challenge there, John Kaiser of saltpatrol.com, is reading the tides and where you want to fish during big tides. And I think that's probably a good way to roll into part two of John Kaiser's Blackmouth Basics is looking at a tide chart and reading between the lines a little bit.
Yeah, Puget Sound's like, it's almost like river fishing because it just changes direction, about twice a day. And you got to figure where those breaks are going to be. Where's that back eddy going to be? Because that's where the bait's going to go, and that's where the blackmouth are going to go. You want to be on the lee side of a point. You want to be where it's going to stack up at, and because they're going looking for food. If you're not where the food is again, you're not fishing in the right area.
And the challenge for me is, it seems to be like you can fish in different spots in Puget Sound with regard to the tides. On Possession Bar, Area 9, for instance, I like to fish the tide.
The face of the bar.
Yeah.
And Kingston's kind of the same way. Kingston's you're going to fish the face of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
At Mid-Channel Bank, you need to go with the flow. If tide's going out, you're starting at Maristone and you're trolling towards Wilson.
And the San Juan Islands are the same way.
Yep.
Disco Bay Derby coming up. I know I'm not supposed to call it that, but I'm calling it the Disco Bay Derby. It's the same program there. But for some reason, Possession and some of these places, you fish the front side of the bar.
Right.
Everywhere else, it's like a river, John.
Right. You're going to fish the backside.
The path of least resistance, sometimes that can be tough. The other thing you look for are those little drop-offs on the bottom. Because that's a little back eddy in itself.
Yep.
A little dip there that you'll see them. They'll be tucked right up on there waiting for stuff to wash over that little dip. Little pile of rock, just anything down there they can tuck in behind and get out of the main flow of that current.
Then once you get in there, match the hatch, put your tackle down there. This time of year, man, glow in the dark, UV, you got to have it, that it just you're not going to catch fish without it.
One of the most single important points, and you just touched on it, is matching the hatch. And we have a really wide variety of sizes yearly, okay? But seasonally we have. And so there's going to be very, very small stuff out there. What's going to be your go-to next week fishing the Olympic Peninsula Salmon Derby, John Kaiser of saltpatrol.com?
Well, shoot. If anybody's been in my boat, it looks like
crawling all over your boat next week over the Derby. So
I bring an assortment, and I got coho killers. You're going to have at least three colors. You got to have the white lightning, the army truck. I like the purple.
Okay.
42 inches with those.
42 inches behind the flash.
Now, do you have to run big, heavy leader like you do with hoochies, or are you going to back your leader off a little bit?
Nope. We're going to go down to 20, 25 pound. That's all you need for that. And then you got to have your Kingfisher spoons, the double glows, any of those that are going to be good. The Kingfisher Light and the White Lightning, Irish Cream, Cookies and Cream, that they're a little bit lighter, so you can go a little bit longer leader, maybe 42 inches. That's a good way to go. If you're going to fish squids, double glows, the 140, that's that kind of green with the stripe in it.
Yeah, kind of guys call it the apple core.
The apple core, right. The clear light green, which is the 8209, that's a good one. And then those you're going to fish heavier because you need action from the flasher. So when you tie it up, you're looking at 50-pound leader for those.
Okay, that's a key point, and I really want to illustrate that a little bit more, is the thing about hoochies, whether they be the little candlefish hoochies or the fuller-size ones, they have no action by themselves.
Correct. Okay?
So you're using that heavier leader and maybe a shorter leader to let it live it up off the action of the flasher.
That's a good point you brought up. We're not fishing for summer kings now.
Right.
We're fishing for blackmouth. It's almost more like fishing for coho,
right,
but on the bottom. Mm-hmm. So you want something a little bit more movement to it. You know, they like something that's a little bit quicker.
Well, a lot of guys, this used to be kind of a 42 to 50 inch drill. A lot of guys are going down to 35 to 30 inches for winter blackmouth and really getting that thing snapping behind that flasher down there. That's kind of happened the last year or two, I've noticed. The guys are really shortening up the leaders, even for Chinook in the summertime in the Sound.
Yeah, I agree. And that's got a little different strategy. If you want to get somebody to snap, particularly, at Elliott Bay, some of these terminal fisheries, they're fishing the midwater column with shorter leaders. But that's something we'll drag into a little bit more. Before we get out of this segment, we need to talk. And you're over there trying to break your wrist, trying to get me out of this segment.
It's okay. Are you okay?
No, I'm not. I'm ADD. Jeez, okay. Man. Let's talk about bottom contact. Let's talk about running that downrigger and keeping it close to the bottom. How close is close enough? Okay. I mean, and what I'm trying to, I hate to see guys set their downrigger at 120 feet, look at the sounder, oh, it's 120 feet, and then go sit at the helm and not look at their downrigger, not fish the downrigger. You got to work that thing.
You got to know what your blowback is.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the distance between what you were just talking about. We're in 120 feet of water. You put your ball down 120 feet. You're not near bottom.
No.
Because you're going to have blowback. You're going to have that distance, that the drag in the water from the wire that you're pulling to the ball. So you need to let it down until you hit bottom. Best thing you can do is let it down until it hits bottom, bring it up a foot, and then look at the counter. Most likely, you're in 120 feet of water. You might be down 150 feet to get bottom.
And there's where current and boat speed come into play as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
You know, and the wind. I mean, and so I watch the angle of my wire. Okay, one last quick question before we get out of John Kaiser's Black Mouth Basics Part 2. Okay. Wire or braid? Okay. I mean, I get this at the show a lot.
I get it all the time.
Okay. Okay. So where do you stand on the issue of fishing stainless or the new Dyneema or Spectra fibers on your downrigger?
I was a wire guy for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Then I tried the braid.
Right.
Okay. And there's a lot of good things about the braid. I mean, it's easy to use, easy to tie knots. My personal feeling is that it did not produce as many fish for me as the wire. Mm-hmm. So I'm back to running wire.
Because you can crank some electricity down that
wire.
You got the
whole thing with the black box. You can control that charge on there. You know what it's doing. And I truly believe that when I switched to the braid, it cost me fish. Yeah.